the compassion for souls, or he wouldn't be in that position. But coming and ministering to us, teaching us the wonderful things that we've heard. Brother Kuhn, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And he spoke to you, but when we would sit and talk, he ministered to me. He ministered to, not just in things in the district, not just on district level, but I listened to words that he spoke, and he ministered to me. To me, that's the most valuable thing. Amen. And so at this time, I want to ask Brother Kuhn if he would come. And how many is going to get behind him? How many is going to listen? How many is going to pay attention? If you don't pay attention, you'll miss it. You know, I was telling one person, there was a gentleman, he went to the emergency room. And he was in bad shape. His ears was just really, they were burned. They were in bad, bad shape. The doctor's looking at his right ear, you know, he's standing there. And the doctor said, "My goodness, man, what happened to you?" He said, "Well, I was ironing my shirt and the phone rang." He turned around, he goes, "My goodness, man, what happened to your left ear?" He said, he called back. Listen, don't be guilty of not receiving because you're not paying attention. Amen. We need to all pay attention, right? Brother Kuhn, come and bless us.
Thank you, Brother Ramsey. And everybody say, praise the Lord. What a beautiful audience for a Saturday afternoon. For some of you, it's lawn mowing time. For others, it's nap time. Some of you, perhaps other things. Some had to take off from work. And a number of pastors are already mentally thinking about what tomorrow holds and how you're going to be ready for that. And yet here you are. And I am honored that you're here. I do not want to take that lightly at all. I've enjoyed being in the New Jersey Metro District. I have been blessed by your conference. I think that I leave here taking more away than what I could have left for sure. And just the company with the people of God and being in fellowship with you and being with men of God, being with saints of God, is a very, very important thing. Something that we should never take lightly is the privilege of this fellowship, the privilege of being in harmony and together. I appreciate your district superintendent. I've not known him well for a long time, but look forward to that relationship and rapport growing. I do believe that he has a heart for the things of God and a heart to see the purpose of God. As Brother Wyatt said, see the purpose of God go forward. I believe that very much. Thank you, Brother Ramsey. Thank you for the word last night. I asked him to send me a copy of his Isaiah 61 Hebraic translation from the Hebraic. I like scholarship that somebody else does, where I can just read it, and somebody called it instant knowledge. I like all the instant knowledge I can get. And see, he knows the Hebrew, and I just know a little English. And to our wonderful, wonderful Spanish folk, I'm so glad you're here. So glad you're here. And anytime anybody frets about anybody's lack of English, more than likely your English is better than their Spanish. Hallelujah. The Japanese have a statement. They say, what do you call somebody who knows only one language? Their answer, a dumb American. And so I'm a dumb American, I guess. I don't do good with English in some ways. Rest of the world does better with three or four languages. We licensed seven guys in Montreal or in Quebec a few weeks ago that between them speak 14 different languages. And I mean everything from Arabic to German to French to Spanish to Sri Lankan to Tagalog to, it was to a Native American dialect. It was, you know what, that's the coming thing. That's the face of the future. Praise the Lord. Well, you just heard a prophetic word. That's what it's going to be like. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't it be a great thing if the next two or three years when you come for district conference, you need somebody here to translate not just into the two languages that are already being translated, because American Sign Language is its own language, and we're translating into Spanish, and here I am trying with English, but wouldn't it be a great thing if we had Korean being translated and maybe somebody else in Tagalog, which is the language of the Philippines? And praise the Lord! 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 Well, I will not take long, and again, I would be remiss if I did not thank Brother Evanson and this church for their hospitality. The food has been just real good. And I have enjoyed it and have enjoyed the hospitality, have enjoyed getting to know Brother Evanson better. I will know better how to jab him back when he jabs me. Hallelujah. And I can give as good as I get, so I can handle it now that I know him a little better. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Well, let me take a few minutes, and I mean that. It is Saturday. We have had quite a bit of stuff. We've had lunch. And I won't be doing this long. All right? Hold me to that. So if I get a little extended here, somebody say, now wait a minute. Anybody familiar with the fact that in the Scripture, God seems to consistently use fire as a defining trait? I'm not talking about fake fire. I'm not talking about smoke and mirrors. I'm talking about fire. Consuming fire, defining fire, the fire, the fire, the fire. Pentecost has never been simply construed on theology or knowledge or literary sense. There has to be a fire. We can't out-entertain our neighborhood churches. We can't do better with music than some of the settings out in society. None of us have 100-piece orchestras. But I can guarantee you that there is nothing like the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise the Lord. Hey, 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 it doesn't matter whether you have 9 or 90 or 900 tomorrow. There can be a move of the Holy Ghost, and the fire of God can settle down right where you are. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And again, I want to be clear. I'm not talking about us trying to work something up. I'm not talking about us shouting until it happens, or somebody saying, let's do a little dance for Jesus, and that being thought to be something that is of divine nature. No, sir. That's worship. That's praise. But there can be a sovereign visitation of God that is without uncertainty and without question. The fact that God is moving in this place. Praise the Lord. I tell you what I think we need. We need to be at a point where we leave church more often. Where that instead of talking about how good the choir sang, and boy, wasn't the soloist wonderful, and my, wasn't the preaching good tonight, we need to be able to leave service on occasion saying, I don't know what happened tonight, but the glory of God came into place, and the fire of God filled the house. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I mean, we need church that can't be explained. We need church that can't be put in a box. Praise the Lord. Prophets of Baal and Satan thought that they had Elijah and the God Jehovah put into some constraint. But what they didn't understand is that Elijah's God answered by fire. Praise the Lord. God answered by fire. It doesn't matter how wet the wood is, God answered by fire. It doesn't matter what the competition is, God answers by fire. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What would happen in our settings if instead of trying to compete with education and academia and with human abilities, somebody did as Elijah did and entered into a conversation with the Almighty and said, God, we need a fire to fall in this place right now, and we need the glory of God to come down. Praise the Lord. That's what's happening in some of your churches where you're having a revival. You're not having it on the basis of human presumptions and human abilities. You're having what you're having because the glory and the fire and the power of God is coming down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When a prophet's lips have been touched with fire, something happens. Something happens. Hallelujah. Whenever John said it, it was he that comes after me. He's not coming with simply a theological dissertation, but he's coming with Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire. Praise the Lord. Think about the last few services there have been in your church. Has there been a divine visitation? Has there been a fire? Has there been a move of God? Has there been that time when there was a divine interruption? When you could just say, I'm not sure that we can move past that moment because it was a God time, a God time, a God time. There was a fire of God that came in, and that fire devoured some things. That fire got some folks' attention, and that fire became a contagious thing. And you've got this sister over here, and she's got the victory, and the one beside her, she don't have much victory. But somehow her fire seems to become a contagious thing, and it gets over on her, and it begins to spread, and it moves through a congregation, and it becomes a contagious thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A few days ago, my son and I were working on a little project, and we had a little burn pile going, and we have just a few acres, and we had a bad ice storm some time back, and I'd never been able to really clean the place up, so we were piling limbs, and in a little bit I noticed the fire that he had started. Although it's still the edge of winter, the grass is dead, and there's not much going on, I noticed that the two fires that had been set had both expanded considerably outside of my expected boundaries. They were over in the neighbor's yard. They were moving over toward the river down the hill. And you see, fire doesn't stay within your little context. Fire doesn't stay within the little plan. Some of us want God's fire, but we want it in a Bunsen burner experimental laboratory. We aren't willing to allow it to become the wild, raging thing that it can be. Fire. Fire expands. Fire takes in territory. Fire can't be constrained. It moves. It gets hold of everything. We sang it years ago. Pentecostal fire is falling. Praise the Lord. It fell on me. Aren't you glad it fell on you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are not here on a Saturday afternoon for a theological discussion simply because we like this, but there's some people here who have been fire touched, fire baptized, fire filled. The fire has fallen on you. Aren't you glad it fell on you? Praise the Lord. I believe I see in New Jersey's future that there will be district conferences that will be engagements of Holy Ghost fire. Hallelujah. Thank God for three getting the Holy Ghost last night after the able preaching of our district superintendent. But what about it being 13 next year? What about it being 35 the year after that? Holy Ghost and fire. What about if we get it in our heart that if we've got lukewarm saints, if we've got backslidden saints, bless God, if we can get them to a district conference, there's going to be a Holy Ghost and fire touch. Praise the Lord. The glory of God is going to come down. What if we get it in our mind and in our heart that if we can just get the people in our church who have been taught home Bible studies, but they've not yet received the Holy Ghost, we get them to a district conference where the fire of God, the fire of God, the Holy Ghost and fire is going to fall and the glory of God is going to come down. Praise God. Much less we carnal, backslidden, lukewarm, lackadaisical bunch of preachers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We can be as carnal as dirt. But I tell you what, the fire of the Holy Ghost, it'll burn out the dross. It'll get rid of the junk. It'll get rid of the stuff. It'll awaken and arouse something in you. We need a fire. We need a fire. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's something happening in North America. I really mean that. And I say the things I'm about to say, not in any way to be... I say them to offer to you, number one, awareness, and number two, the idea that if God can do that there with that person, in that setting, in that situation, God can do something similar here with somebody just like me. Hallelujah. So what I want you to get is the next four or five things I talk about are not to put these people up here on a pinnacle, because that's not where they need to be. They're common people. They're normal people. They struggle with the same stuff that you struggle with. Jerry Staton went to Washington, D.C. not because he had a burden, not because God called him, but because Washington, D.C. did not have a church. He pastored a great church. It was 3 hours away. Has 600 in attendance regularly. He left that church behind and went with his son to pastor. And he went into the inner city of Washington, D.C. And he started a church, he and his wife. Another family joined them. It wasn't long before things began to happen. Today, 3 years later, Jerry Staton on Sundays is having church in the basement of National Baptist Church. Got to understand, the basement of National Baptist Church is about the size of the basement downstairs here. Basement of the National Baptist Church does not have air conditioning. Basement of the National Baptist Church for most of the latter winter did not have heat. Yet on Saturday and on Sunday, there will be between 100 to 150 every Sunday that come together to worship. And the rent for that place in the basement of National Baptist for about 10 hours every week is $20,000 a month. And Pentecostal fire is falling. And now there are flowing out of that 12 preaching points. And there are 3 daughter churches that are scattered all over Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia. And Pentecostal fire is falling. And if it can happen to wild man Jerry Staton, why not you? Why not your life? Why not your world? Why not your setting? Hallelujah. Pentecostal fire. Yes, it is falling. In Chicago, Rick Gonzalez went there 16 years ago. He is bilingual. He has started now 7 preaching points in daughter churches. Today and tomorrow, he will have been in 7 different services scattered all over Chicago. In those services scattered across Chicago, there will be just over 1,000 people. That ain't bad for 16 years. We're saying, oh, but we got to get them in our building. Oh, no, we got to get them to heaven. We got to get them to heaven. The largest United Pentecostal church is a fellow that most of you have never heard of. The gentleman's name is Raul Gonzalez. How many of you have heard of Brother Gonzalez? Not one person. There's one guy in the back that's heard of Brother Gonzalez. Brother Gonzalez Church in Los Angeles and Orange County has between 5 and 6,000 people. That's a lot of church. You know why you hadn't heard of it? Is because that it's scattered all over the city. You see, when he started 17 years ago, it grew and then it wouldn't fit in the space and he couldn't find a space to rent. He had a little group that was driving from 20 miles away and so he just started going over there and he rented another little space and then it happened again at both of them. And then he had a leader he had raised up and he put him over there and another one there and another one there. And now if you were to look in the directory of the United Pentecostal Church, there are about 30 of those congregations across Southern California. That's what can happen here. That's what can happen with you. That's what can happen in your world. Their entire congregation gets together one time a year. They rent a convention center in Orange County. And they have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday church convention. And all 5,000 to 6,000 of them. You say, oh, that's not the way to do it. Seems to be working pretty good. It's not business as usual time. It's not business as usual time. You see, we got a fella who we saw saved in Montreal 5 years ago that as soon as he got saved, he began teaching his family back in one of those Middle Eastern countries where there is strong government legislation against Christianity. He began to teach them using the internet, home Bible study. He began to teach. I've got pictures in my office of a group of men that had come to a hotel ballroom. And in the hotel ballroom, they're kneeling on their prayer rugs. And this guy's on the screen. And he is teaching them a home Bible study. And then a little while, they blow up a swimming pool. And they baptize each other in the name of Jesus for the washing away of the stain of their sin. It is not time for business as usual. Holy Ghost power is calling. The glory of God is filling the land. Hallelujah. So far, that man preaching on the internet has resulted in over 2,000 people being baptized in Jesus' name. You hadn't heard of Mark Brown either. Mark Brown left IBC when he graduated about 5 years ago. Left there as a 22-year-old, and he went to Watertown, South Dakota, because Watertown, South Dakota didn't have a church. Say, 22-year-old don't have any business going anywhere to start a church. Well, he can't hurt nothing. There's nothing there. And he might help somebody. And he did. Didn't have any music. He and his wife started learning. Last time I was at South Dakota's camp meeting, they were providing the music for camp meeting. People start coming in. Community's growing. They have Hispanic folks coming. Nobody can speak Spanish. Mark goes and learns Spanish where he can preach to the Spanish-speaking community. Never heard of him. Pentecostal fire is falling. I've got a sneaking idea that a lot of that is falling around here. To a young Christian leader, Paul wrote and he said, stir up the gift that is within thee. Stir up the gift that is within me. Stir up the gift. Stir up. It means poke the fire. Poke the fire. Stir up the fire. Who's to stir it? You're to fire it up. Is there a call of God on your life? Stir the fire. Do you feel you're to preach the gospel? Stir the fire. Preach in a jailhouse. Preach in a nursing home. Preach in the next town over. But preach, preach, preach. Stir the fire of the call of God on your life. I read the story of a church that had the tragic event happen of their building being consumed by fire. As the flames were eating away, the community came and they began to look, and pastor standing there in dismay, and finally he sees a fellow standing over in the audience who's looking on, and the pastor walks over to him and says, sir, I've never seen you at our church before. And the fellow says, sir, I've never seen your church on fire before either. That's the reason some things aren't happening in some of our towns. They need to see our church on fire. They need to see our church on fire. They need to see our church on fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, how does fire happen? How does fire happen? Understand that what I'm going to read is out of its context. If I have a text, this would be it. Because what James refers to is the tongue, but he expresses a principle that cannot be ignored. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter that a little fire kindleth. There's a principle there. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. James' lesson is no fire starts as a great fire. All fires start as a small fire. But when you have a small fire and you begin to add wood to the fire and you begin to let fuel come to the fire, it's just a matter of time before the small fire becomes a great fire. The premise that I want to pose to you is simply this. Are you available to start a fire? Are you available? Look at somebody beside you and ask them, are you available to start a fire? The great fire of 1871 in Chicago began because Mrs. O'Leary walked out of her house to the barn to milk the cow. And she carried her lantern with her. And while she was milking the cow kicked over the lantern. And it burned an entire city. How great a fire a little fire kindleth. Boy, if we could just get everybody in New Jersey on fire. No. If we can just get one on fire. Somebody ought to be saying, me. I want to be the one. Because how great a fire a little fire kindleth. My roots are in the South. And my dad keeps me supplied, because they're still in the South. He keeps me supplied with what is known as pine knots. Now, I don't know if there are pine knots in New Jersey. There's one or two fellas here, but I brought one with you where you could know what it looked like. My wife said, you better get to the airport early if you're going to take that. You know what? I can burn this building down with this right here. You say, you need some gas. No, I don't need no gas. You know what? You know what that is? That's the heartwood of a long-felled pine tree. And all of the sap that was in that pine has been absorbed into this pine knot. And the way we start a fire, I don't need all of that to start a fire in our fireplace. All I need is about that much. And I can put it on logs that are under logs that are that big around, and in just a little bit, I can have a great big old fire. Let me just give you some lessons real quick. It doesn't take a whole lot to start something big. The second thing is, it don't take something pretty to start something big. Pine knots aren't pretty, and they don't use them to make furniture. They use them to start fires. If you want to always be pretty, God may not be able to do with you what He would like to do. And the third thing is this. The first thing that loses its identity to the fire is the pine knot. If you've always got to get the credit, and somebody's always got to point to you, you know, if Raul Roscoe came in today, some of you would think he was here early to be the janitor to clean the church. He's the guy that pastors between 5,000 and 6,000 people. He's unassuming. He's non-presumptuous. There's no arrogance in him. Oh, but God uses such. We need a fresh awareness. It doesn't matter who gets the credit, as long as God gets to do what God wants to do. As long as God can bring into existence what He wants to bring into existence. Hallelujah. We need to merge into the ashes of each other's sacrifice. We have a church in Kansas City where the presbyter has adopted this idea of, my revival is your revival, and your revival is my revival. Once a year, or once a month, excuse me, all of their churches report. They count the number of first-time visitors they had, the number of home Bible studies they're teaching, how many got the Holy Ghost, how many they baptized, and then they compile it all together. In other words, there's never any saying, well, you know what, Brother Ramsey had 15 visitors, and guess what, out there with someplace else, they only had 5. There's no comparing. Instead, it's in Section 11 of the Missouri District of the United Pentecostal Church International. We had 100 visitors last month, and we're teaching 120 Bible studies, and we had 19 get the Holy Ghost, and we baptized 24. Hallelujah. Your revival is my revival. My revival is your revival. If you've got a fire, it'll spill out on me. If I got a fire, it'll spill out on you. Are you available to start a fire? Last thing about Pine Knots, I done took it back. Last thing about Pine Knots, a lot of us are trying to get district superintendents and home missions directors and folks that are fat cats at the top of the heap. We're trying to get them. Boy, if we could just get them prayed through, and if they'd just, hallelujah, a pine knot isn't a big old log. Pine knot isn't the big stuff. Pine knot don't have its name in the front of the directory. Excuse me, district superintendent. Pine knot's available. Pine knot's got the right stuff in it. Some of you young preachers that are coming on here, please hear me. Don't let the constraints of who and what I am and who and what I've been become the limitations of your future. But instead, let's take New Jersey. Let's let the glory of God spill out of here. Let's let the power of God be expressed across the land. If it can happen in Los Angeles, it can happen here. If it can happen in Chicago, it can happen here. If it can happen, hallelujah, anywhere else, it can happen here. Are you available? Oh, come. Now I tell you what, I'm done. I'd like every 40 and under year old preacher to head this direction. Hallelujah. You see, the way we're going to get this done, if you're 40 and under, head this way. I love the fact, and it didn't dawn on me till today. I like the fact that this red and yellow, those are the colors of fire. And green is the color of possibility. Praise the Lord. So here we are. We got some fire going. I'm assuming that every one of those red and yellow spots is a place where tomorrow at 10 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 6 o'clock, the glory of God is going to come down. The fire of God is going to fill the house. And if it's not working where you are, just get to talking about one of the other places where it is. You say, I'm afraid somebody else will, I'm afraid my folks will move. They're not going to move. They're going to want it where they're at. They're going to want it in their church. Hallelujah. Just get to spilling it. Get to pouring it out. Amen. How are we going to get this done? Well, number one, I don't believe the answer is in Mississippi. The answer is in New Jersey. But fellas, when we get credentialed to preach, we need to preach. Do you know that North America is the only continent on the face of the earth where there are more preachers than churches? No, in South America, there's two churches for every one preacher. They must have better automobiles and better transportation, better highways in South America than what we got up here. No. They have a different perspective. And the perspective is that the greatest thing you have to offer if you're a preacher of the gospel is to preach. It's how shall they hear without a preacher? Didn't say it had to be a good preacher. Didn't say it had to be a deep preacher. Didn't say it had to be an eloquent preacher. He just got to be a preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? So here we go. Man, that's right here where we're at. Praise the Lord. I just see, and you'll have to rearrange these little BBs. It's right out here somewhere. I see this fire just spilling over on this one and consuming that location. I don't know what's there. I don't know what this church has available to offer to this, but do you see what I'm talking about? You see, what happens often is that people will come from this community to this church. And some of them get saved, or maybe they move from some other part of the country here and they get saved. Or they were saved before they moved and they make this drive. Let me tell you what statistical research says. It says that 90% of the people who will be in your church tomorrow will travel 15 minutes or less to be in church. Now, I didn't like that data. So I assessed it in the church I pastored. And much to my dismay, in spite of us having some people that drove 70 miles and one or two that faithfully drove 50, 90% plus of the people I pastored traveled fewer than 15 minutes to be at church. You know what that means? The people who drove 50 miles, their friends might be intrigued about their church and they might be interested, but they ain't coming. They're not coming any more than they would drive 50 miles to buy a Big Mac. So what's the better option? Better option is somehow for me to work it into my schedule that, you know what? There's people over there that need to be saved. Not just the one family that moved in. Not just the one family that kind of somehow ended up in our church. Maybe they got saved here and then moved out here. But what we got to do is we got to get a preacher out here. It may be the pastor. It may be the assistant pastor. It may be the youth pastor. It may be the 16-year-old preacher, which is what I was when I started preaching. But I tell you what, out here there are people who all they need is to hear the gospel. All they need is somebody to declare it to them. Hallelujah! How great a fire! A little fire starts. Why don't we stand together? And I want those that are under 40 to come. And what I'd like to have happen, I'd like for leadership. And I'd like for this congregation to just stretch your hand toward the front. I'm so impressed by the people who got up and talked about the various ministries today. But this is the shape of the future. I wish I could start over. I wish I was just beginning. I wish I knew then what I know now. These are our guys. This is the future. I'm sorry, district board, but your day, best day's done. We got to position this thing for the future. And this is it. Come on up here, guys. Man, isn't this... Y'all come on up here. I don't know about them blue jeans in New Jersey, son. But we'll forgive you. Hallelujah. You look much better. Don't ever change. Come on up here. Come on, guys. Some of these are licensed, some aren't. That doesn't matter. They're going to be. This is the future. Stretch your hand toward them. I want you to pray on them a fire of the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray on them a power of the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray on them an anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray on them that, come on, guys, pray for them. Brother Naylor, come help me. You've invested a lot in some of these. Hallelujah. There's some elders here that have invested. There's some elders. Come on. My God, we don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want to just be called preachers. God, we want an anointing. We want an anointing. We want the fire and the glory and the power of Almighty God to rest upon us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let there be angelic ministry. Let there be power of Holy Ghost ministry. God, my young friend and evangelist, let him, oh God, see it. Let him see it. God, brother, let him see it. My brother, let him see it. Brother, let him see it. In the name of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Ah, Pentecostal fire. Pentecostal fire. Pentecostal fire. Pentecostal fire. Pentecostal fire. Pentecostal fire. My, 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 my. Come on, pray for him. Come on, pray for him. This is revival right here. This is where revival's coming from right here. This is how it's going to become a reality. Right here. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. My God, my God, my God, my God. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. J- Just imagine what can happen with the 8 or 9 men that are up here. Just imagine 8 or 9 pieces of kindling wood. Just imagine 8 or 9 pieces of kindling wood. Just imagine, just imagine, just imagine.
Sing it with us one more time.
Anointing, fall on me.
Just ask the Lord, let your anointing fall upon me, Lord. Let your anointing fall upon me, Lord.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me.
Praise God. These are life-changing times. Amen. You can be changed in a service like this today. The anointing of the Lord fall upon you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know where our superintendent has gone, but we're just going to go ahead and we're going to pray and we're going to dismiss. If any young men, young strong men can help us for about 10 or 15 minutes. We would appreciate it. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for a good district conference, O Lord. Thank you for your hand. Thank you for your touch, God. Pray that you go with us as we go our ways to our respective churches. Grant us revival, Lord. Grant us a move of the Holy Ghost. Set us on fire. Make us a flame. Lord Jesus, we pray for your touch upon our hearts and our minds. And everybody say in Jesus' name. And everybody that says or speaks Spanish, in el nombre de Jesucristo. Hallelujah. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.